So here we go. We have a situation in which both sides believe that if their candidate loses, it's going to be the end of democracy. It is going to be the end of the republic, the end of freedom, and this will be the last election. You actually have high-profile influencers saying that this will be the last election. People need to understand what that psychologically is going to do to the side that loses. They're going to feel disaffected, disenfranchised, and they will take action. And it's because of this fallacious rhetoric. And that's what it is, because this is I think they call it a slippery slope fallacy, where you presume that one bad outcome is destined to end in some chain reaction of events that ends in tyranny, that ends in an egregious abuse of power by some authoritarian despot, or, you know, they'll be called either a fascist or a socialist authoritarian, depending on, you know, who gets into power. And of course, if people are resigned to this fact, they're bound to do crazy shit. And this is exactly what our adversaries are banking on. So try not to take it too seriously. I know that's crazy, because either way, I'm telling you, we're going to war. Either we're going there through the Middle East, or we're going there through Europe. It's basically a matter of taking your choice, your roots. And of course, ultimately, it all ends in China and in the East. But as I've long since said, either we're taking the globalist approach when we go with Kamala, and we're going to continue to turn up the heat in Europe, or we are going to primarily be focused on the more America first, hyper patriotic, jingoistic approach being promoted by the Trump campaign, which will most certainly see us entangled in a disastrous conflict in Iran, which will see the price of oil go through the roof. And when that happens, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the petrodollar. They may just decide to fix the price of oil. It's something that's never been done before, which of course would take the U.S. off the global reserve currency. A lot can happen. Not take them off, but have them cease to be the global reserve currency if we start to price our own oil that we produce here differently than the rest of the world. Okay. Now, that is something that could happen under Trump. I think if Kamala takes the reins, we're going to see the debt bubble, continue to inflate. I think with Trump, there's a possibility that the bubble will burst sooner than later. The bubble has to burst. Whether it bursts now or later, actually, if it bursts later, arguably it's worse, right? Because you're going to be stringing people along. I think most of Wall Street, the big money, would actually prefer if Kamala won, because they know that there's some predictability there. There's some managed horizontal escalation. Things might not go haywire right away. If Trump wins, I think we could see a more precipitous dive in the markets and we might even see a drop in gold because, of course, people might expect that some of these drastic changes being brought in by Trump might actually be, you know, good for the dollar long term, but it depends on how you slice it. I think regardless, I think it's very unlikely that the price of gold is going to decline regardless of what the candidate is, because again, ultimately we're in a Thucydides trap. We're in a situation where we need to try to keep our adversaries down before they get into a position where they can truly threaten us, which is pretty much the way it is right now on almost every part of the chessboard. So tonight, I think it would be an opportune time. If I were the Iranians, this is the opportune time to attack for a variety of reasons. One of the main reasons is symbolic. It would be a retaliatory gesture for the assassination of the Hamas political leadership, Haniyeh, in Iran during the president's inauguration. If you recall, back in, was it April or was it, I can't remember, it was midsummer anyways, that the Israelis assassinated Haniyeh inside Iran during Iran's new president, Pezeshkian's inauguration. So tell me it wouldn't be befitting to do a strike during the U.S. election. Another reason why they might want to do it during this time is because the majority of Americans will be consumed and transfixed by their TV sets, okay? And TV sets, geez, I've just dated myself, by their computers and their smartphones, trying to figure out the results of the election. So we'll be very distracted and perhaps not readily available to come to Israel's aid. However, because half the population is going to be greatly disaffected, greatly disillusioned with about the outcome, and disenfranchised, you are going to see upheaval in either direction, no matter what the outcome is, unless it's a blowout in one direction or the other, which none of the pollsters appear to be predicting. No matter if it's Nate Silver, who has up until this point predicted Trump, however, in the final hours here, he's now backpedaled, or Alan Lichtman, who's predicted with accuracy 9 out of 10, arguably 10 out of the 10 last elections, if you count the failed Gore election, he's predicting a Kamala victory as well. The people on the right are incredibly resourceful. They are very well connected, and I think that you are going to have people, when you have people saying things like this is going to be the last election, people who are high profile, when you have them saying that, you are going to bring out the absolute worst in people when the results of the election don't match what they view as being something that is absolutely necessary in order to maintain the republic as a bastion of freedom and liberty. So I think that this is part of the reason why, of course, they're preparing in Washington for riots. I think if it's the left who riots, it's going to be less intense, but it's going to be a more of a general rage. You know, the usual stuff. Lots of protests, lots of noise making, a few Molotovs, a few things set on fire. Nothing very surgical or targeted. I think if it's on the right, it's going to be something different altogether. Now, here's where this is going to be exploited by whoever gets into power. And this is where we're going to see a vicious cycle unfold. As this is one of the most contentious elections ever, this means that the people who dispute the results are going to be very upset, and they're going to do things that are against the law in order to make themselves heard. When they do that, that is going to be used as justification to bring in even more laws. And that is going to harmonize well with the world that we are entering, one of more austerity, more geopolitical turmoil around the world, and one in which they're going to need boots on the ground. They're going to need to restrict civil liberties. They're going to need to impose martial law light when these wars really enter into the next phase. And it's going to be far easier to do that and to set up the administrative systems to do that if you have the threat of homegrown terrorism. And if you can attribute that homegrown terrorism to meddling by our adversaries. Of course, as I indicated yesterday, Vladimir Putin doesn't care who gets elected. He's not like pulling for Trump or something. Vladimir Putin's pulling for chaos. The only thing that destroys the United States is the United States. And all of our adversaries know that. The only thing that can take us out is ourselves. And so No, they're pulling for the candidate that they think is going to cause the most upheaval. And right now, when you have a situation where you have Trump voters who sincerely believe they have this in the bag and there's no possible way that they can lose. They reference social media. They reference the ratios, the view counts on certain podcasts. And they're looking at the situation. They're saying, how is it possible that we can lose? There's no way that we can lose without it being fraudulent. When you have a situation like that, you are going to get pushback. And that pushback is going to be leveraged in order to bring in more laws that are eventually going to assist in the transition to martial law when we really get into wars with Iran, when NATO becomes more ensnared in this quagmire that is the Ukraine. HIMARS were now officially moved to Taiwan today. And the North Korean situation is heating up as they're firing more and more ballistic missiles. So understand that this is what's going to happen. Okay, you're going to, any sort of resistance is going to be leveraged because it's likely going to be too little and spread out far too thin in order to matter that much. January 6th was somewhat of an exception in that, could something like that have ever succeeded? I don't think so. I really just don't think there's, unless you have people within the military and unless a coup has to come from the top, really, in the United States. You know, there's no real way you get a grassroots insurrection that's even has a hope in hell of surviving or succeeding. So this is what I think is going to go down. We're going to see, and I'm not saying this from a place of preference. I could be wrong, but I'm getting the vibe that Kamala is going to win. And I've always had that vibe since the beginning. Now, I know this kind of contradicts what I've said. My de facto vibe is that Kamala is going to win. But based on what I can see with my eyes, it would make sense that Trump would win because Joe Rogan, 42 million views compared to Kamala Harris. You know, I mean, what was the best podcast that she did recently? You know, and it just seems like this, these incessant platitudes and pandering to the lowest common denominator of entertainment, you know, to try to win votes with just throwing everything in the kitchen sink, every single celebrity, you know, Kamala is throwing, doing every single thing that they can to try to drum up as much momentum and enthusiasm for a campaign, which is really just hollow and generic and just, it's just boring as fuck. Like, you know, like there's just nothing there. So no wonder why people are gravitating towards Trump, because even though his bellicose rhetoric is not going to change a damn thing at the end of the day. I mean, sorry to say it, but it won't. I mean, it didn't really change much during the first 4 years. It's not going to change much now. There might be a few executive orders passed, but anybody believing in the starry-eyed promises that, you know, we're going to do all this and we're going to do all that. No, there's hell to pay first. Okay. There's debts to pay and there's pain that has to come first before any of that is going to be realized. Can he maybe set the nation on a different course? It's possible. But getting back to my point, judging by Kamala's demeanor from what I've seen in her last speech, she thinks she has it in the bag. I can't say the same when I look at Trump's demeanor. I can't say the same. And we've kind of screwed ourselves in this society because it's profitable. Division is profitable. And they've always wanted it to be a dead heat right to the finish, because not only does that get good ratings, but it's a good old divide and conquer strategy. Unfortunately, our adversaries can leverage that if it's not properly managed, because it can, as it is now, getting out of control. It can get out of control. I don't ever recall, like I'm thinking back to, you know, Gore versus Bush. There was never anybody at that time who said this is going to be the last election if we don't win. I mean, these are very dangerous words. Very dangerous words. And we take them so lightly because we've just been desensitized to it. From 2016 to 2020 to now, we just kind of brush it off as, you know, more cantankerous rhetoric that is just, you know, the result of people being emotional. But, you know, we've seen how that emotion can manifest violently, and it will. And whether or not our adversaries are able to use that against us is going to be one of the most important things that we have to keep in mind. It's not the end if your candidate doesn't win the election. The pendulum is going to swing the other way. It always does. It always does. Okay? People thought that Justin Trudeau, who is now way down in the polls, and if there was an election today, he would lose hands down. And we've had to endure him for a long time. Did we get our handguns taken away? Yes. Is that a slippery slope? Probably. Can we possibly get them back? There's a chance. There is a chance. They undid the long gun registry. Things can be undone. Okay. Now, I'm not saying we get complacent or anything like that. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying that don't presume that it's going to be the end of the world, because the end of the world is going to come in other ways that transcend whoever the puppet is in the White House that they put there to entertain us. And that's really what this primarily is. It's a form of entertainment. People can feel good the next day during the election. Is it really going to materialize into much that is going to, that isn't just going to be self-fulfilling? You know, like when Trump gets in, are the markets going to rally just because Trump's in, even though there's no real material reason as to why they should? I mean, isn't that part of the problem? But I actually don't think they will this time. And we've seen that with Biden. Everybody thought in 2020, if Biden won, the markets would crash, and the complete opposite happened. It was a melt up. Don't get me wrong. It's hollow. It's nominal gains. It's not real gains that we're seeing. But nonetheless, you just never know nowadays. Okay. So let's all just take some deep breaths. And I would not be surprised if by the next time I talk to you, we're talking about Iran launching a massive strike against Israel. And I forgot to add before I let you go that Israel was contemplating a preemptive strike against Iran as a result of this. So we may actually see it go in the other direction. And they're being very quiet right now. And when they're being quiet and when oil is slowly ticking upwards, that's when you got to be on the lookout. Stay ready, guys. Shit's about to go down.